learn, an opportunity to express yourself. Get involved with our newsmakers and our newsbreakers of today and tomorrow. Talk Radio invites your participation. Talk Radio is
Bill Jenkins.
And welcome to a Saturday night on KABC. I am Bill Jenkins. This is Open Mind. And tonight, we have a treat for you. A treat indeed for you. A man who I have read his works, been a part of his works, studied his works for many, many years now. And our trails have just never crossed for some reason or another. He's been there and I have been here and we have been everywhere. But tonight, what a rare opportunity to have him with you. I think he is one of the giants in the vanguard of human thought and human research. His work has been incredible in the relationship between animals and human beings. He has some incredible stories to tell you about that. Incredible is the wrong word. That means you don't believe it. Astounding stories. He is very much a part of the world of crystals and the enormous effect that crystals are having upon our lives right now, and so much more. Really a scientist, and I'm delighted to have him a part of us. Welcome, Dr. Marcel Vogel. Marcel,
how are you there? Are we on the line now?
We are on the line, and you're on the air.
I'm happy to hear you and to be able to talk and be with you this evening.
Marcel is with, are you still with IBM, Marcel?
No, I retired in April, and I'm devoting my full time to doing what I call psychic research. I have retired, built a laboratory, and I've got a laboratory in San Jose in 1725 Little Orchard Street, and I'm teaching doctors, nurses, therapists, the use of crystals in their therapeutic practice.
Do you still have the plants around telling you what's going on?
Oh, yes. We're also working with the plants and teaching both children and doctors how to communicate with nature as well. What I'm basically trying to do is to teach people to be more loving, to be more attentive to one another in a realistic way instead of just using words.
Isn't that what this new age is about?
Yes, it is, and I think it's the most wonderful and exciting thing we can have because we've been so occupied in my early youth with the idea of the intellectual powers of people, their ability to be giants of cognitive reasoning and the like, and I think this generation is going to be a generation of dealing with the inner sense of being and the ability to love one another and not try to put each person into a box or a place.
You know, we talk about that being one of the facets of the New Age movement. But I guess we have to attribute one of the early members of the New Age movement to Jesus.
Oh, it is. Well,
who said, love.
He is my guideline. I've loved him from childhood.
What he had to say is something that was not heeded, unfortunately.
That is true, because if you wish to love me, love your fellow man. And that was his whole dictum and teaching. And look what we have done with it. We have built it into rigid structures and locked people back into a prison again. And I'm trying to teach people to be free of that so that they can respect each person's belief system, but above all, learn from nature.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
That is so true.
It's an ancient old adage. But you know, one of the encouraging things about this new time, Marcel, that we live in, is the technology that we have now thrust upon ourselves.
I know.
And this technology now demands more than ever before that we be able to do that, because we are now at the moment that we have allowed our technology to far surpass our spirituality. And because of that, we're about ready to use our technology upon ourselves.
That is so true.
Which will annihilate ourselves.
Well, look at the threats of atomic destruction that are posed throughout the world on one another. We cannot survive if we build one weapon on another weapon, because it will only end up in total destruction. To me, the ultimate defense is if we can learn to be loving to one another. It brings to mind a moment right now of Mahatma Gandhi. The Indian nation was under the grip of the British people, and this one little man taught passive resistance and brought that whole British government to a standstill, and they left the India and gave India back to the Indians. Mahatma Gandhi taught the Indian people to love, not by fighting, but by maintaining their dignity and knowing who they were and what they wanted. We must do the same thing to our children. I did something, Bill, and I'd like to share it with you and your listeners at this time. When I was with IBM, I gave a class to the young children, 10 to 12-year-old children, on what I called a mind-boggling class. And in this class, I taught children to bend metals with total ease, to locate hidden objects with telepathy, the use of dowsing rods, and to be able to communicate on a mind-to-mind basis through the feeling. The net product of this teaching was that each person stood in front of the class as a final examination and was able to move ahead 10 years and precisely describe where they were going, what type of profession they were going to go into, and how they were going to accomplish it. That is what I mean by loving, being able to go within, know who you are, and then express it in a clear, unequivocal way.
Isn't a part of it also, Marcel, at knowing the powers that you have?
You must, but you hear what I said a moment ago. I opened those powers that have been suppressed,
mm-hmm.
been looked down in ridicule, like in telepathy, and being able to communicate with plants and feel the powers that come from nature. And then you have no fear.
You know, let me share something with you, if I may. This afternoon, just this afternoon, my son and I were in our backyard.
All right.
And he has, you know, listened to his dad, who he thinks is a little off the branch, you know, every now and then.
Isn't that true?
But he was able to move himself into an altered state of consciousness today.
Uh-huh.
And we spent the afternoon just cleaning the sky of clouds.
Isn't that fun?
It's magnificent fun.
Isn't that fun?
Great thunderheads would rise, and we tossed them away.
Right.
Now, I know that, you know, here I am, a respected journalist in Los Angeles, but I do, indeed, move clouds around.
Well, Bill, I did the same thing with Andrea Poharic. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yes, he's been on the show. He's
all right.
A
well,
dear friend of mine.
We were driving in Canada, and there were a group of clouds moving overhead, and we stopped the car, and Andrea pointed to the clouds and said, "Can you dissolve that cloud?" I said, "Do you want me to do it?" He said, "Yes." So I looked at it, pointed my finger, and just split the cloud. With my mind, the thing just split, opened up, and dissolved.
Takes a couple of minutes. Well, for me, it takes four. You're probably far advanced than me.
No, it takes a couple of minutes. It
takes about 4 minutes to do.
That's about all, because suddenly you see the thing is a slit, and then it starts to break up, and then it's gone. Because what you do, you remove the charge that holds the water molecules apart that forms a cloud, and they coalesce and form rain.
Well, my good friend Tom Bearden would say that your left and right hemisphere of the mind is acting as a scalar interferometer.
That is true, and you just break up the patterns that way.
And you, a little bit of simple concentration, you can do it. It finally gets to be old hat that you can clear the sky out of clouds.
I'm going to give you one now, which all of you can participate who are listening. I did this in Hawaii after I'd given a program to a group of people at the Unity Church. We went out on the beach and we lay down on the beach. It was about 9 o'clock at night time. The sky was crystal clear. Then I looked at the Big Dipper. And Mr. Charles, the singer, was with me. I said, could we communicate with one of those stars? And I looked at the star and took a deep breath, and I became one with the star. And it started to scintillate at a different rate of vibration than the other stars around. And I withdrew the breath. It went back to the normal vibration. I did this again and again. We can communicate with any planetary system we wish if we just relax our mind, take a deep breath, and go and be with that star. Have you tried that yet?
No, but I am certainly going to do it tonight, Marcel.
It is a glorious experience.
I have learned over the course of the better than 5 years that I have been doing this show, and when I started doing it, I was a novice of the first degree, a skeptic of the first order, a political economic commentator.
All right.
I am somebody different now.
You're growing. You're expanding.
Yes, and fortunately, the delightfully vast audience we have on this show has too.
Good.
And I am so delighted to have you with us tonight, Marcel, and I'm looking forward to when you can be in the studio with us.
I would be very happy to do that. I would have loved to have been tonight, but I had the group of doctors. I was one-day workshop that Dr. Lasko and myself had in our laboratory for doctors on the use of crystals in therapeutic healing and practice. We're giving these as regular courses now to the medical profession.
Well, your work has already proved to be legion in that area, and we want to discuss that with you, the healing power of crystals. We want to discuss with you the interrelation between the human being and the plants. We want to discuss with you the power of telekinesis and the ominous research that's going on in the Soviet Union.
All right, I've been to all of them, especially into the Soviet Union.
I know you have, and that's the reason I wanted to be with you tonight.
All right.
And there is so far to go, and we have 3 hours to go. I am speaking to Dr. Marcel Vogel. He is really one of the most advanced theoretical physicists in the world. And it's more than just theory, because he has put it into application and into fact and into form and into the data. We're not talking about just myths in the wind, but we are talking about something that is actually going on, a part of the reality of the world that we live in that you probably are not aware of. And if you're not aware of it, stay with us, because tonight we will perhaps change a little bit of your concepts of the world that we live in, and all we ask is that you have an open mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
North here in California is Dr. Marcel Vogel, who spent many illustrious years with the IBM Corporation and is spending illustrious years in service of his fellow man. Marcel, let us talk first about this thing called telekinesis.
All right.
Can we do that?
Surely.
Telekinesis is something that probably boggles a lot of minds, that with your mind, simply using that energy, and you and I touched on it a minute ago, that you can literally move things around.
Right.
You can move objects around.
Well, let us go back 2,000 years ago. What did Christ say? If your faith were great enough, you can move mountains.
He wasn't just making that up, was he? He had the science. In fact, he used it quite often.
I have a very large microscope that I worked with when I was with IBM, the Zeiss UltraPro 3D, and I now have it in my possession as a gift from IBM.
Oh, 1962,
I worked with the microscope with materials called liquid crystals.
Yes.
They're intermediate between liquid and solid. It was a combination of cholesterol oleate and cholesterol chloride and nonanoate. It's liquid at room temperature, but is exceedingly sensitive to the charges that the human mind can release. I focused on that compound for 1 hour, continually focused. At the end of the hour, an image had formed from my mind onto that material, and then I photographed it with the camera that I had attached to the microscope. I did this many, many times. The ultimate expression of telekinesis is that we release an energy with mind that is a pattern of vibration which can be accumulated by matter and be photographed and studied. And this is the type of research I'm doing now in the laboratory that I have.
Is this part of the Delaware Thought Photography?
I have that camera in my possession. The only one left in the world. It was sent to me by Elizabeth Bearline and Lavender Dower. I can operate that camera.
And you can take pictures of thoughts.
I've got many, many hundreds of plates, and we're studying that in the laboratory with a group of scientists.
You know, my wife would like very much to get a picture of one of my thoughts.
I would be happy to have you come up sometime when we can do this together. Would you like to do that?
I will.
Yeah.
Would I like to do that? Are you kidding?
Yeah. The results, I've made a quantum leap in thought photography in a sense that no longer do I just have a picture that is the product of an exposure of the silver halide, but I've gone into the study of the glass plates with the microscope up to 1,000 diameter magnification. And now I find in the gelatin emulsion a series of satellite patterns that look like a cloud chamber. There are streaks, there are vibrating particles. It shows that there is particulate energy coming from mind that I am observing and photographing on the film. Now, I have literally hundreds of plates that I've taken with that Delaware camera of these type of effects. So the mind releases a charge, particulate-like charge, which can be cohered by synchronizing the left and the right hemisphere together, and that synchronization gives a coherency to a field, and the mind then can release a charge like a laser. That accounts for what we spoke about before in your moving clouds or
dissipating them,
dissolving them, or taking a piece of metal, holding it in your hand and focusing on it, and you can dissolve the charge between the atoms of the iron, and the metal becomes placid, soft, and bends readily.
You just rearrange the bonding between the molecules.
That's all there is to it. In fact, we can do some metal bending afterwards. So people will get spoons out and I'll go through an exercise with them. Would you like that?
I would love that. All right, let's do that.
All right.
Those that are listening, go to your... Don't get one of your best pieces of silver, but just get, you know, a piece of flatware or something, whatever you don't mind being bent. Shall we bend some metal here tonight?
I think it'd be fun, don't you?
I would love to do it. Can I bend my fountain pen? Because I didn't bring a spoon with me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't expect that, so I didn't know we were going to do that.
Oh, you never know what I'm going to do when you get me on the program like this.
I knew this was going to be an awful lot of fun. You know, we have said time and time again here, in talking to Andrea Paharich and Tom Bearden and some of the others, that a human thought, is literally in the virtual state. And it produces energy that goes to work in the environment around you.
That is true.
And you are literally photographing it now, testing it. And, of course, it has been tested. And most people don't understand that when they think they produce energy.
They sure do.
And the trick to life, I think, is making sure that that energy that you produce with your thoughts is energy that is in harmony with the all-prevailing energy, that the sea of energy in which we exist.
And that is love, my friend.
That's exactly. Love is a thought that creates energy.
Yeah, but creates a harmonious energy.
That is in total harmony with the nature, character, and personality of the Creator.
The definition I have for love is a power or force that creates unity from diversity, that coheres two opposites and brings it to a state of oneness and well-being. Now, we have two hemispheres of our brain. We have the rational mind, which works through the sensoriums of the sensory mechanisms that we have, but we have the other part of our brain, the creative part, the one that knows no limit or bound. And when we bring these two together and bring them into harmony within ourselves, that is the state of well-being or love.
Now you see what you have done and what we have done. We have removed love from the realm of the religionist and the poets and put it into the hands of the scientist.
That is true.
And there is a very profound meaning behind an explanation for love, because now it's not something mystical, but it is something that is deeply enriched in scientific data.
Yeah. Now, let me bring a point of focus again to the statement of Christ. If you wish to love me, love your fellow man. It's a direct statement that we should work into observing the actions of our thoughts, our thought forms, on other people. Love your fellow man. Means I must look to my fellow man to find out about myself. And in that finding out, which is a discovery, come to a better understanding of both myself and my fellow man, then that develops then a relationship. But it requires, in order to do that, a training, a disciplining, a involved form of development, which is not instinctive.
No.
You follow me?
I certainly do.
And that's where the training comes. And I really mean this, and this may sound funny for a moment. A real quantum leap, growth, and development has taken place in myself when I became involved in giving this class in IBM on creativity in 1969. And we took up this Baxter experiment of, do plants have emotions? And I mentally ridiculed this. But then when I got this paper, I picked it up and challenged the class. Can you imagine now in IBM, a class of 35 scientists trying to talk to plants and communicate with them?
I bet they were amazed when they found out they could.
Well, the class went at it in a systematic way, as they were trained to do, in the sense that we set up a committee of a programmer to store and record the information, where they had a grouping of plants that they had electroded. We made our own psych analyzer, and their next conclusion from 3 months of experimentation that they saw nothing above the noise level of the baseline. And I went in competition with the class, and at the end of 3 months, I took one plant, made a friend of it, and asked the plant when it was ready to experiment with me. I got a feeling, responded to it, electroded, and did one set of experiments, and it changed my life. Because what I saw was that the moment I thought, an exchange of energy took place between myself and the plant. There was a minute squiggle in the baseline. And I did this again and again with a man by the name of Dr. Jan Thomas. Presented it to the class, they saw the data, and it didn't sink in. But that minute squiggle has put me on this program with you. Because then I brought it home, and I practiced night after night for almost 1 year, learning breath, breath control, all of the principles of yoga without ever reading about it. And once I saw that data, I said, that is real, and now I have to critically and seriously study it. So from learning the feedback I got from the plant, it opened my whole consciousness to the reality that we exist not only in our body, but outside of our body and into the universe as well. So the plant was really a guru to open my consciousness. Kind of fun, isn't it?
It's very fun. I certainly have experienced it some, but not near to the degree that you have done it. The work that you have done with plants is legion. And I want to take a little break right now and remind everybody to get their spoons out, because we're going to bend some. Why don't we do that here rather early on in the show?
Well, you name the time and I'll do it with you.
Why don't we do that right after we take a break?
Good. I have the crystal in my hand, and I'm going to be pumping energy to the crystal and to everyone in the audience.
And all right.
I was going to give them a chance to experience things that most people have never had before.
All right, here's what we're going to do then. This is totally unrehearsed, Marcel. You and I never even had a chance to talk before.
Never for a moment. And so there's no program, there's nothing. I'm just creating as we go along.
We're winging it. This is what the show... We wing this show all of the time, Marcel.
I know you do.
What we will do, we'll take a break, you get your spoons, and as soon as you come back, we'll be back with Dr. Marcel Vogel. And he is going to teach you, and if you have a keen eye and a good mind, you're going to be able to change the composition of matter right in front of your eyes, I would imagine. I'm going to run down the hall and get a spoon myself if I can find one.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Line. With us is Dr. Marcel Vogel. And we are about to bend some spoons or whatever you have in your mind, in your hand now. A little experiment, okay?
All right, all right.
Ready to try that?
What I'm going to do first is to project a energy field to the crystal I have in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a double terminated quartz crystal that we cut specially for healing purposes. So what I'll ask you to do now, all of you who are listening to me, is to lift up your hands and hold them in the air in front of you, and I'm going to project to your hands a field through the crystal to you. Now I'm going to draw my breath in.
Well, I have an engineer here by the name of Donald O'Connor. I don't know how skeptical Donald is, but he is going to follow along. No, he says he believes very much.
All right, now I'm going to release my breath and start projecting.
I just got a spoon myself.
I'm not bending the spoon yet, but I'm just projecting a field.
Hands up in the air, right, both of them?
Yeah. Now, what you should feel would be like a wind. It's a release of a charge.
Marcel, I feel it. There's
there
a wind blowing over my left hand, but not over my right.
It comes in one hand only.
And I got it on my left.
You receive on the left, and you emit on the right.
Oh.
There it comes.
It sure is.
I've never done this before, so this is a brand new experiment.
Well, I got the wind on my left hand.
That's it. Now, I'm going to go into a circular motion. Watch the effect on your body now. Breathe in. Out. In. Out. You should feel that now like a charge. Here it comes. Can you feel that?
I'm also getting the wind on my right hand.
I know. I'm pumping both sides now. Like a wind.
Mm-hmm.
See, we are 400 and some odd miles apart.
I'm feeling it.
But it still can be felt.
What about you, Donald? Are you feeling it? Milton, are you feeling it? I have two gentlemen in the studio in the
office
with me, and they are feeling it.
They are feeling it, too?
Yes.
Good. Isn't that interesting?
I'm overwhelmed.
Now, if everyone will get their spoons, hold them in your hand.
Left hand or right?
You hold it with both hands, and now hold the spoon end with your left hand and start stroking the spoon with your right hand. As you stroke, the spoon will become sticky because there will be a charge transfer taking place from your body into the metal. And where the hand sticks, keep the finger in that position. And now, look at the stone with your eyes and visualize the metal becoming soft and plastic, no longer a rigid metal. Lightly test the spoon to feel the rigidity of the metal. Now, draw in your breath deeply. Hold the breath. Focus on the spoon, the metal. Create an image of your mind of the metal bending, and suddenly let your breath out and bend the spoon, and the metal will let go just like butter. And as it lets go, you can bend, stop for a moment, catch your breath, focus on it again, and release, and the metal will start to bend again. You can do this again and again until the metal is twisted into a little tiny pile. I've tried to assist now each person in doing this by projecting energy, a field, to each of you to do this with. There it comes. Now I have to relax for a moment and catch my own breath. Once I've done this on television, there was a sudden interruption of the picture where there was a loss in the on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's done. We should be able to listen to some of the readers or listeners now and see if they were able to do it.
I'm looking at Milton here in the studio with me.
Yes.
And there is a good bend in his fork.
Okay.
Donald was working with a knife.
I've done a knife. The problem with the knife, you have to be very, very fast because that stainless steel will hold the charge for just a fraction of a second and then it's drawn again. So when you get the right moment, it'll bend just like butter, that heavy stainless steel knife.
Well, I have to admit, Marcel, I was working with a spoon and didn't do anything.
It did not.
But you know, I'm involved with a lot of other things rather than...
You might have occupied, it would be illogical for you to do it with the type of thing that you have to do, keep your mind on the program and doing.
But I am looking at a bent fork here that Milton just gave me.
Good.
And it is bent, Donald, right? All right, now.
Isn't this fun?
I love it. I wish I could have bent the spoon, but I must confess that I couldn't concentrate everything on it, although I wanted to turn it into little knots. But you know, I'm the guy that's been wanting to go out of body for 5 years. I haven't made that yet either. But I will.
You will. It's no trouble. It's just take a breath and out you go.
Now, what I want to do, for those of that may have been playing this experiment with us here, let me give some telephone numbers so they can check in.
Mm-hmm.
All of our numbers end in TALK, T-A-L-K. If you're in the Los Angeles area, your number is 520-TALK. If you're in the San Fernando Valley, 990. If you're in Pasadena, Glendale, or Burbank, 244. If you're in the San Gabriel Valley, out in the new 818 area code, your number is 448. In the South Bay area, that's Manhattan Beach, Palos Verdes, Redondo Beach, Rolling Hills, all of those areas, 679. If you're down at Long Beach, San Pedro, Paramount, Downey, Linwood, 639. And if you're in Orange County in the 714 area code, your number is 750. Or if you're in the 619 area code, your number is 750. If you're in the 818 area code of Orange County, you're 448. And if you did participate in this experiment, and if you did bend the metal, or if you didn't, I want you to call in and check in with us. And not only that, feel free to ask Dr. Marcel Vogel any question you may have on your mind, because he is one of our leading researchers in many, many fields. Certainly the relationship between plants and animals.
Bill,
yes.
I would like to add one more thing right
Certainly.
Now. We are turning out bi-monthly a newsletter, a psychic research newsletter, which is available for $25 for a two-year subscription. And in there, I give all sorts of experiments any person can do to check out and identify these type of forces.
Could you give us the address on that newsletter?
Yes, it's on 1725 Little Orchard Street, San Jose, California.
And the zip code?
Don't have in memory right now. I was looking for that, and I don't have that. I can give you my home address, and that I have is 819 Morse Street, M-O-R-S-E Street, San Jose, California, 95126. Now, this newsletter, I pretty much dictate myself, and it's geared towards a practical development of these powers and skills that we speak of as psychic. They're just an extension of our normal faculties.
That's all it is. Psychic ability is something that is a part of all of us, and we would like to see everybody learning how to use it for their well-being as much
as
possible.
That's the main thing.
We'll get to our callers in just a second and see how our experiment went, Marcel. Of course, we have a lot of ground to cover yet before midnight. I'm with Dr. Marcel Vogel. This is Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, the leading New Age scientist, experimenters, innovators, theoreticians of our time. And he's just told us how and showed us how to bend some spoons, helped us. And here in the studio, we did bend spoons. I didn't, but Milton did. Donald, how did you make it with the knife? Not too well. Donald didn't do it on the knife. But we have Joanne on the line. Hello, Joanne. Did you bend something?
I sure did. And I'm at work.
And you're at work.
Right. I'm a dispatcher for a security outfit. So if my phone's ringing, I got to run.
Okay.
Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Dr. Vogel.
Did you enjoy that?
I sure did. And I am an advanced student in psychic development.
You are. That is wonderful.
I bend it forward, backward, and then was able to put it into its normal shape.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It sure is.
But did you notice that moment of transition, the metal ceases to be metal?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into that relaxed state, and it's amendable to your mind.
Right.
Now, that is a wonderful teaching, because that is a point of coherence when your mind is operating in an exactly focused manner. Now, you can do this same thing to a plant. You can focus on a leaf, look at it intently, and pulse your breath, and that leaf will move without touching it.
Oh, really? Oh, I never experiment with plants.
Well,
I had a plant that when I walk up to it, it would shake all over.
Yeah, that is the
choice. Oh, well, my house does that all the time.
I know, because, you see, your field radiates to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because with my church, we do a lot of psychic development with it, and the Reverend had given us several classes in psychic development, and we do a lot of meditation.
Beautiful.
And we deal with the spirits this way.
Well, Joanne, it seems like it. You're doing very well, but I'm going to, thank you very much for involving yourself in our experiment. I want to go on because we have a gal by the name of Sue on the line who did not bend her spoon, so we'll talk to her. Joanne, thank you very, very much.
You're quite welcome, and thank you.
Thank you. Sue, you weren't able to do it.
No, I couldn't bend my spoon, and I'm disappointed about it.
Well, I didn't bend mine either, so don't feel bad.
Well, I'm kind of skeptical. Is all these things that you're telling us really, really true?
You don't think I would like it?
Well, how would I know? Because, see, I was wondering, like, if you can really do those things to the clouds, I mean, why wouldn't something like that be in the newspapers and make big news?
Newspapers are not interested in people that can dissipate clouds. You know, we've had them come out and look at it, and they say, oh, yeah, what else do you do?
I can help you. Can you hear me?
Yes, barely.
Can you hear me now?
Just barely.
All right. Well, I did these experiments. I was with IBM then, and I would have the IBM scientists in and watch the experiments. They would see that operating, and they would say, I see it, but I can't believe it. So they'd walk away.
And I'm not going to tell my readers or listeners that I witnessed something like this, or they'll think I'm Looney Tunes.
Do you think that that maybe I couldn't bend my spoon because of your five-second delay and maybe the energy got kind of mixed up?
Well, there's no five-second delay there.
Over the radio. I heard you over the radio giving your instructions.
I see. Well,
I don't think so because, you know, we just had one person do it.
Uh-huh. Well, how do I know she did it?
Well, is she going to lie to us?
She might.
All right. Listen, so you didn't bend your spoon. Joanne did, and there's our music, which means that we're going to have to take a break right now. Thank you very much for participating in the experiment, Sue.
Okay.
We may even try it later tonight, and you'll have better luck, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I have something else even more exciting.
Okay.
And we'll do some more exciting things, as Marcel said. You're spending a Saturday night with me. I'm Bill Jenkins, and my guest is Dr. Marcel Vogel, a science that most people don't even believe exists. The ability to communicate with animals. The healing power of crystals, telekinesis, so many things. I don't know whether we couldn't begin to scratch the surface with you tonight, Marcel. I didn't bend my spoon, but Milton bent his spoon here in the studio with me. Donald did not bend his knife, but Donald is also keeping his eye on how I punch the buttons. We had one spoon bender in the audience and one who did not. Are you ready to go to another one? Let's get some feedback. You ready there, Marcel? There you are. Are you with me? I just punched you.
Yes, can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Good.
We have Earl on the line. Earl, did you bend something?
Yeah, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but because I don't normally do these type of things. I picked up a metal bracket that's a shelf bracket, and it's probably about a 32nd of an inch thick, and it's about 8 inches long, and it's tapered from about 2 inches down to about a quarter of an inch, and I was able to bend it.
Fine.
It bent right in front of your eyes, did it?
It did, yeah. Well, I put a little pressure on it.
You put a little...
I didn't do it, but it was a lot easier than... It was much easier than normal.
You wouldn't be able to bend it ordinarily.
No.
All right. You can say that very confidently, that you did not just, you know, with brute strength, bend that shelf bracket.
No.
Well...
Something else happened, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, the main thing is you have to convince yourself, because you did it, and you analyze what you have, and then...
It didn't bend by itself. I did put some pressure on it, but
no,
it was...
No, I didn't say you'd bend it by yourself. Other people can do that, young children especially, but in the first go-around... You need to assist it with a little pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying, Marcel, then, with a little more practice using the technique you taught us a little bit ago, that you can bend things and you don't have to put any pressure on them at all?
You don't even have to touch it.
Do you have any more shelf brackets, Earl?
Yes, I do. I tried another one, and it was a lot more difficult.
All right, then you compare one to the other. But remember, we're doing this remotely, and this is the first time around that we do this. And... a professor Hasted in England has studied a group of children, and he's published a scientific report on this, and he has people bending metal in a tube of glass. He has strain gauges attached to them, and the moment they focus their mind to bend, you can see a rippling like a sonic wave coming from the person that shows on the strain gauge, and then the metal bends spontaneously. Now, these are exceptional children, but they have been able to do this. I have the papers here in front of me, in fact, right beside me right now.
Marcel, I have a lot of data on a lady who has been a guest on the show a couple of times by the name of Greta Woodrue.
All right.
Greta,
oh, yes, I know Greta.
She doesn't just bend spoons, she shrinks them.
Right. We were together with Andrea Paharich.
Yes.
And we did some interesting experiments. I have a fork that she bent right beside me at this time. And I also did work with her with the crystals, and it was quite surprising to her the release of a field that could be projected with a crystal into a person. She gave me one of her books. We had a lot of fun together.
She's something else. But to watch a spoon shrink...
That is right.
It's something else.
Well, these things are real.
You don't invite Greta to dinner.
No, because your dinner gets kind of scrambled.
Earl, thank you very much for joining us and taking part in the experiment.
Okay.
I want to talk to a couple of other before we go on, just to kind of establish what's been going on. I believe Michael is on the line. Michael?
Hi, how are you? Where you twist the spoon in the opposite direction from the stem.
Right.
Which is more startling because there's no torque. You can't grab the spoon handle.
That's right.
And I took lessons from a kahuna who bent the bowl backwards halfway down the bowl.
Right.
With no effort whatsoever.
Well, I was in one of the universities back east, and they were interested in studying this, so I said, all right, we'll go into the stock room, and we got all different types of metal. I cut them up in 1 foot length, so they're all 1 foot in length and varying diameters from 1/8 inch in diameter up to 3/8 inch by 1 foot. So we had all the same dimensions. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
A fascinating thing that I found, I could not bend bronze.
Couldn't bend bronze?
Mm.
Why not?
No. The dissipation of charge was such that I could not bend it. I could bend it with physical strength. You follow me?
Right.
But I could not bend it. But when I got to stainless steel, you know how hard stainless steel was.
But look at the difference in the atomic weight.
The molecular structure, and I was able to attune to that. I could feel the vibration, and the thing snapped on me. In other words, I was focusing on it, and it just went ding like that, and it split apart.
Of course, bronze is an alloy in the mixture of metals, and
well,
it varies.
Mixture of copper and tin. I've forgotten what the other is.
Brass, I think.
And I did not get a response, and I suggest you try that, too. Get some rod stock, and you'll be surprised. You'll find some of the metals will work, and the others will not.
Huh.
Okay, Michael, but I'm happy to say that you did bend the spoon.
Yeah, you know, I also have a quick story about plants. My roommate, who's quite good with plants, we had a very sick plant we brought in the house to try and heal it. And he names them and kind of gets a feeling for them. And he was saying, well, I guess we'll have to think of a name for you. He was just kind of musing to himself, and he heard the plant say, I'm Isa.
Good.
So there are people who do talk, and they talk back if you'll pay some attention.
They sure will.
When he heard that, was that a sort of an ESP thing?
It was an audible.
An audible.
Well, you know, it's clairaudience.
Yes.
To the person who hears it, it is audible. However, the mechanism through which it is heard is lengthy to discuss, but it came externally.
Marcel certainly understands that.
Oh, yeah.
I've been into this many, many times.
Yeah. What's the technique of synchronizing the brain hemispheres like?
It's with breath. Normally, in breathing, we do alternate breathing. We don't have exactly the same indwelling of breath through the left and right nostril. With training, you bring both breaths in so that they're exactly at the same pressure and level, and you hold and release together. So your breathing apparatus starts to synchronize in getting the same amount of volume and pressure of air into the lungs. That synchronization gives a coherence to the EEG brainwave. I've been able to see this. I've had myself electroded for electroencephalogram, and I could see the exact balancing of both the left and the right hemisphere.
Okay, well, I'm going to try that.
You try that, and what you do is you close one nostril. You breathe in and you feel that pressure. So you get a mental impression of the pressure and volume of air you're drawing in. Let the breath out and then close the other nostril and draw the air in and get a feeling of that pressure. Literally, you're programming these two nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
Then you mentally state that I want now both left and right hemispheres to have the same volume of oxygen fed to them, because the oxygenation of the bloodstream comes from the air that we draw into our lungs. Follow?
Right.
Now, once you put that program into being and start to breathe that way, you're breathing under a direct programming, and suddenly you feel your body stiffen, and the power starts to pour out of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the basis of what we call pranayama in yoga.
Okay.
Okay, Michael, you with us?
Yeah, I'm writing this down. Yeah, I am.
And there are books, one written by Swami Sivananda on the art of pranayama.
Okay.
And it gives you exactly this information.
Okay.
All right, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for participating in the experiment and listening, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Glad to have you aboard, and we hope the plant gets better there. And Al, you, did you bend your spoon?
No.
Well.
And I'm very disappointed because what happened, I did the bit with the hands up.
Did you?
And I guess the lady that was on just before I mentioned the 5-second delay.
Yes.
I felt the wind before you mentioned it.
All right.
And I couldn't understand, well, is this it? And then you said it, and it was in the left hand.
Right.
And I said, no, if I can do this, I can do anything.
That's right.
So when the spoon thing happened, possibly I didn't put enough pressure on it.
Well, it...
I felt the wind, too, but I couldn't get the spoon to bend, and I didn't want to use brute force.
No.
Well, it's a matter of synchronization. When you finish talking to me, I suggest you try it again and just do it in the quiet of where you are now. And just become one with the spoon. I was giving a lot of instruction. We were really, it's hard to connect to all of you. And once you do that, you will feel it. And it's a real excitement because you know that spoon is bending beyond just a physical brute force.
I can barely hear you, Doctor.
I am sorry. Can you hear me now?
Let me turn you up.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
How is that now? Is that better?
That's better, yes. Thank you.
Good. All right. There is this real precise line of demarcation between physical force and the bending. And once the force is required to initiate the process, and the thing just goes like butter.
Uh-huh.
And all I can suggest now is just to try it.
I tell you what we'll do, Al. If it's all right with you, Marcel, later on, perhaps in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll try to bend spoons again.
Perhaps I wasn't holding it right. I was holding it with the spoon end, the actual spoon end, in my left hand.
Right.
And holding it as one would use it, and the left hand had the handle.
Well, what I do, I take my thumb and forefinger and just rub it back and forth on the handle.
Yes, I did that, and I got to a point where it stopped.
That is the point. That's a pivot point for one end. Then I take my other fingers right on the tip. I put very little pressure. I focus on an area that I wanted to bend. Take a deep breath, build up the field, and suddenly let the breath out. It's like the ki. You know what you do in martial arts? And when you let the breath out and focus on it that way, the thing just lets go.
Okay, we'll try it again, Al.
Okay, but we're spending too much time on this spoon. The real reason I called was to, very early in the program, the doctor mentioned something about photographing thoughts.
Right.
How does that work with dreams?
With what, dreams?
Dreams, yes.
It should be very interesting. I have a syllabus of information. I call it the Psychic Research Notebook, where I have copied a Russian scientific paper on thought photography, and it gives explicit information of the distance from the brain and how they have captured pictures of the people thinking or hallucinating. Dreams should be the same thing.
Well, my dreams are more like hallucinations, and they have been for years. People ask, what'd you dream last night? There are not words in the English language to describe.
Right.
The things I see, the even the colors are different. And for a long time, I was a little bothered by it, but then I thought, so what?
It's a wonderful thing because it is a tremendous ability to keep your body in balance when you can dream this way. It is good for you. Because you're restructuring your body from your dreams to what you're going to do in the days or weeks following.
Oh, am I in trouble?
No out of body, no bending spoons, and no dreams, Bill?
I can't tell you the things I've been going through here. Marcel, if I'm going to do all of that, I've got to go work out.
All right. I'm only beginning. You ought to see the stuff I have here in front of me. I think we should keep going now.
Yes, indeed.
I put together a series of manuscripts and notes, what I call the notebook, and I sold that for $10 to those who are interested. But these are papers and data that you could get no other place in the world. And I have that for sale at the laboratory for people who are interested.
On dreams.
Is this something on dreams?
Well, this is not on dreams, but it's on thought photography. And
okay, fine, wonderful.
And it gives you explicitly the type of film to use, how it can be applied, and I have it here for
I tell you what, Marcel, why don't we do this? Just give the address, your address, where
right.
they can reach you on any of the particular subjects, and you can fill them in on what you have for them afterwards, okay?
Good. Shall I do it now?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and give the address. Great.
Well, it's Psychic Research Incorporated. I'm going to give another number now. It's a Suite 110-406 South Bascom Avenue, San Jose, California. 95128. All right.
Okay, we've got that. And, of course, we'll have that for you with broadcast information for those that didn't receive that.
Good.
Also, get a hold of Dr. Vogel.
Yes.
He has, obviously, a wealth of information that you'll find quite valuable to you.
Good, good, good.
And later we'll bend the spoons again, and maybe you'll do more than feel the wind, and maybe I will, too. So I'll go along that with you.
Let us hope.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's a Saturday night on KABC. That means it's open mind. I'm delighted you're with me, and I am delighted that Dr. Marcel Vogel is with me. We'll be back in just a moment. Certainly you may.
We're giving, for the first time, I think, ever, a one-week symposium on thought photography. And that's going to be held in Joy Lake in Reno, Nevada. And those who are interested in it can contact Alan Morvay, M-O-R-V-A-Y, 702-323-0378. And that will be in from October 11th to October 18th. We're going to bring together the Thelma Moss, Francis Farley, other people who have done work in this area. I'm bringing the Delaware camera there, and we will be doing and demonstrating this firsthand.
Now, that's in Reno, October 11th through the 18th.
Of this year.
And contact Alan Morvay. What's his number?
702.
Yes.
323-0378.
All right.
So it's, I'm...
It's a fascinating field.
I want to show this again, that other people can do it much the same as we have done here now in metal bending.
It's all a part of the same ballgame in
it's
a way.
It's all the same thing. Now, the thing I'd like to bring up, I'm holding in my hand a crystal, what I call a healing crystal. It's taken over 10 years of research to develop this. And this material I am teaching now to the medical profession, to therapists, and to the general public, people who want to try to develop their ability to heal themselves instead of having to go to drugs. And basically what we are doing in this is removing locked stresses, programs that people have locked onto their body from a rejection of program, or they have suffered a injury from a fall or an accident, and the body cannot release these patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to release these. And I would like to do now an experiment I've never done before in my life. Would you be willing?
You've got my full attention, Marcel.
All right. I'm going to try to do now a healing on those people who have some particular ache or pain in their body. Would you like that?
I would love it.
Okay.
Now, we have to realize that we have a radio station going here.
That's right.
We have an experiment going here.
This is purely an experiment.
We're not promising anything. And we're going to see if it'll work. And
now, I'm holding this crystal in my hand, and I'm projecting the thought of love and well-being through the crystal to all who are listening to me at this time. I want you now, if you will, to take a deep breath, hold your breath, and as you release your breath, link to me through the outgoing breath into the crystal that I hold in my hand. Now, in and out. In and out. And now I will send to each of you the thought of love and well-being. Now, with this, I will project a thought of a rose, a beautiful red rose. And now we will unfold the rose and project to you the odor of the rose. Now, breathe carefully. And you should now begin to experience the odor of the rose as the rose bud unfolds. You should see the red rose. And now we dissolve the rose. Now take another deep breath and put your hand on an area in your body that is suffering pain. Focus on that area with your mind. Take a deep breath and visualize the source of the pain. Now I will project to each of you the thought of love. Breathe in, focus on the pain, hold your breath. Now release your breath and break up the pattern that is giving you the pain and bring your body back to a state of balance and well-being. Peace be to all of you who are listening to me at this time. And God be with you.
Marcel?
Yes.
I smelt the rose.
You did. I'm so happy. Is that something?
I didn't have any pain, but have a bit of a stopped up nose because I've been kind of on the tail end of a flu here.
Okay.
But my nose is clearing up.
It's clearing up too, isn't it?
Yes. But the rose was beautiful.
Isn't that lovely?
How do you do that? Now, you're only 400 something miles away from here.
All right.
You're holding onto a crystal. You're hanging onto a telephone.
Yeah.
And I'm hanging onto a radio station, but I'm smelling the rose.
I'm becoming one with you.
I love you.
Isn't that neat? I'm just trying to release what it means to be loving and to become a child again.
Let the little boy out every now and then is a very good idea, isn't it?
It is. That's what I'm trying to do now, is just to have fun in the real sense of the word, of being with people, enjoying them, and sharing the gifts our Lord has given me throughout my lifetime. I had, when I was with IBM, the privilege of designing the magnetic coating for the disk memory system. I hold the basic patents on the magnetic disk memory system.
I want to talk to you about the one I have. I keep losing things on it.
You do?
Yeah.
And God has given me a creative mind, and I'm trying to show other people how to use it.
You're one of the most creative minds in the world. Can we get to some of our callers now? They have
Good.
A myriad of things to talk to you about. And Adrian has been waiting a long time.
Look,
oh, my, I can't believe that I'm on.
Hello, dear.
Dr. Vogel, I am thrilled to talk to you. For the last 2 days, I've been thinking about you, and I turned on the radio. Mm-hmm. Bill, I heard your voice, and I got a feeling, and I knew it was you, and it was you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you smell the rose?
I smelled the rose, and I have a cold and everything. I couldn't believe it. It was great.
You know, I'm going to give you a great big hug over the phone now. Can you take it?
Yes, I can take it.
Mm.
Oh, give it back.
How does that feel?
Oh, wonderful. Dr. Vogel.
Family show, guys.
Yes. Dr. Vogel, I read an interview about your life and about your work with crystals in a magazine about 6 months ago.
That's in the Secret, in the Science of Mind magazine.
That's right, yes.
Right.
And I have kind of two questions. In the article, you talked about the focus of your crystal, I guess,
right,
generally speaking, which you called the witness bone. And to me, it sounded like in, I guess, Indian energy centers between the fourth and fifth. I'm not sure.
That is right.
Okay, and I want to ask you a second question. First, I would like you to explain a little bit about what that energy center is. And secondly, I want to apply it. I was thinking about finding out where you are to find out if I'm in West Los Angeles, if there's anyone down here who might be able to help a friend. Help, yes.
There is a wonderful doctor who is working with the crystals, and he is just a superb man. His name is Dr. John Adams, and he practices down in Los Angeles. And, if you will write to me, I will give you his phone number and address.
I will write to you.
You write to me, and I will send you in. He is practicing down there, and I'm really proud of him. He is such a wonderful man. Now, the witness bone is right opposite the thymus gland, T-H-Y-M-U-S. The thymus gland is a ductless gland, and when you stimulate that gland, you come in contact with your whole person. You can look at yourself in a holistic manner. And the ancient people have known this, the Chinese. And when they bury a person, they will put a metal plaque over the witness bone. They cover that so they can keep the person in their mind into the grave and they don't move out. Sensitives who work with a person who... a skeleton, and you focus in that range, and now that body has only the skeletal bony structure. The spine opposite the thymus gland will store the vibrations of the whole person. When you tune in to that area of the spine and close your eyes, suddenly in front of your mind's eye will be the image of that entire person. You will see the imaging of what they look like. Literally, you would pose the skeleton. I have done this by taking a skeleton of an animal and putting my finger with the crystal on the witness area, taking a breath, going in, and suddenly I can see the animal as it looked fully with the tissue and the animal fur. It's very exciting.
It's very interesting. The thymus is very important to the entire operation of the reticulum system. Are your
That is correct.
Well, I don't know what the reticular system is.
Well, that is your system that helps you stay alive, that fends off all diseases. Your
whole defense mechanism.
Your immune system.
The whole immune system that keeps you in a state of health and well-being is controlled by the thymus.
Very interesting. Dr. Vogel, then, is Dr. Adams a specialist in any particular kind of medicine?
He's a general practitioner.
He is marvelous. Bill, if you give me a moment. My friend is experiencing, I think, a lot of emotional turbulence right now. He has been told he's got a spasm in the lower esophagus. It's that general area.
Yes.
He's been, when he goes to sleep, when he's been under a great deal of stress, he has left his body, probably during the last year, and he's afraid of it. I told him it's not necessarily something to be afraid of. And he feels...
I've been trying to for years.
And he feels his heart pounding, and he's afraid to go to sleep at those times. And it's just centered right there.
Will he do something very simple, and all of you who are listening can do it. If you have trouble like this, you buy a simple, natural quartz crystal for a few dollars. You hold that in your hand, take a deep breath, and go into the crystal so you link your vibration to the crystal. You can keep yourself then in body and then take it to bed with you, and you will have a much more peaceful slumber and less strained emotional feelings.
Have him try that, Adrian.
I will.
It's very simple. I've given this to mentally or emotionally disturbed people, given them a gift, especially children, of a crystal. They love it, they pet it, and it stabilizes them to a very high degree.
Wonderful.
Adrian, does that help?
Very, very much.
Get a big hug.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You two be careful. It's a family show now.
Bye.
All right. Adrian, thank you very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Dr. Marcel Vogel. It's Open Mind. With me, Dr. Marcel Vogel from Northern California. And we have Will on the line. Hello, Will.
Hi. I've been listening to you. And early on in the show, when you were talking about the stars, I'm an actor. And about 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, somewhere around there, I went up to Sonora.
How old an actor are you there, Will?
12.
You're a young actor?
Oh, very good.
Get after it. Go.
And I was eating dinner one night, and I found a paper on a UFO museum. So I went there, and my mother and I got to be real good friends with the chairlady of it. And she explained to us what you said, Dr. Vogel, on concentrating on the stars, and my brother and I have done that, and we've actually seen them pulsate and move.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's really neat. It freaks my brother out.
It is. And, you know, when you look at it, others around you will see it. They won't believe it.
And it's like
real.
A real close friend of mine who lives up the street, we've been friends about, I don't know, a year, she came down one night, and we were looking at the moon through my telescope, and she says, "What's that?" And she pointed, and we saw, I guess, like a bright light going across the sky.
Right.
And it stopped and disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, and she's like, "Well, whatever you say." It really, really impressed her.
See, if you want to talk to anybody in any other dimension, you take a deep breath, you hold your breath, and you let your body start to vibrate to a vibration that will link to wherever you want to be. And then as you hold your breath, you just focus and then pulse your breath. And that sets out a carrier wave that you can communicate with.
That's incredible.
And when you do it, it's exciting.
Yeah.
But you see, you did that, you saw it, and now you know it's true.
Yeah, it's like, I used to be real skeptical.
I know, so was I.
About UFOs, and the first time I saw it, you know, I thought, no, it's a plane. I looked at it again, and I was like, it was too low to be a plane.
Are you skeptical about UFOs now, Will?
No, definitely not.
What about you, Marcel? Are you skeptical about
them? Not a bit. I've been given samples from a UFO.
You were talking about the samples were given to you by Edward Meyer.
Yeah.
Wendell Stevens, Edward Meyer. Tell us about those samples.
Oh, boy. You want to get into that now?
Sure, why not? There's been a lot of controversy about them. Some people said that you never found anything unusual about them, and some people said you did. Well, we've got you on the horn. Were they unusual?
The first sample I had was unusual. This is with a scanning electron microscope, photomicrography that we did. We found sections of that piece of metal containing thulium, T-H-U-L-M-I-U-M. It's one of the rare earth elements in a very pure form. And right next to it was aluminum, and then silver, and then crystalline deposits, and the conglomerate that we saw in this minute sample was exceedingly unusual. I put that sample away from the holder we had from the microscope into a container and put it into my pocket, and I contacted the NASA people. I wanted them to come and take the sample and do an analysis to corroborate what I found. And when I reached into my pocket when the man was there in my office and took out the container, the metal sample had disappeared. So I didn't have it anymore. And
where did it go?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't have it. It was gone. But then I got additional samples, and this is where all the controversy started. I did not see the same quality or type of elemental composition. I got controversial statements from Wendell Stevens himself, because I had sent it to Omni, to the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, to corroborate what we found. And that unfortunately brought in a controversy, which I said, that's enough, I will have no more to do with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing it on a no fee basis. I was doing it purely from the interest of seeing if there's truth. I have a small bit of the metal left of these additional samples, not the original. And a person who is sincerely interested, I could share a minute bit with them to do a study if they want.
I understand that there was a high level of calcium in some of those samples.
Well, that is a claim that Stevens made. I did not find calcium.
You didn't find it?
I did not find it. And that was the same samples that he made claim on. I saw aluminum, silver, and another one was indium. So that one specimen looked like silver solder, but this one, the original one. And if you want, Bill, I can send you an actual picture of the sample. Would you be interested?
I certainly would.
Okay, I'll make a copy and I'll mail it down to you, and you can have it for your collection. It's very unusual, and you can see the scanning electron analysis of it, the elemental composition.
Would you go as far as to say that it was not done here on Earth, or?
I could not conceive. I showed it to some of our metallurgists, and we couldn't conceive how somebody could make a composition like that with this type of purity and the layering that we saw. I did not know how it was put together, and that's the best way I have to summarize. I was also given crystals, and I had Sheila Brown, you know, the psychic?
Yes.
We did a psychometry of it, so she touched the samples the first time. And I have a videotape of her psychometrizing these samples.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave a description of what she felt these were. And I was also given a sample of hair from Sanjazi, who was from the Pleiades.
Right.
And I did a analysis of that hair by the means of radionic analysis. I did not do that, but another man did. And when that was done, I felt the presence of Sanjazi. And is not a very pleasant looking type of person. They have these bald heads and large eyes that you see in many pictures of UFOs. Well, I personally experienced that.
The description I get of her is one of being rather looking much as we do, rather than as they do from Zeta 1, Zeta 2 reticula.
Yeah, no, what I saw was she had no hair, and a face that would normally frighten an individual.
Hmm. Well, that's not the description that Billy Meyer gives, of course. But who knows?
Well, I don't know. They may put on the appearance to fit the need of a person.
That's possible.
And these are very, very controversial subjects, and I still want to physically get on board a vessel, then I'd be willing to deal with it on a one-to-one basis, but I have not had the opportunity to do that.
We should talk tomorrow.
Good. We never know.
Because I can't get away, and maybe you can go in my place.
That would be fun.
All right. Let's take another call in just a moment. Will, if you're still with us, thank you very much.
I have one more thing.
Hello, yeah. Will.
When we were doing the spoon bending,
yes.
Well, I was bending a spoon, and I got it to bend down real far.
Good.
And then I bent it back up.
Uh-huh.
And when I was trying to get it back in its normal position, it snapped.
That's right.
Now your mother's going to be unhappy with you.
She is. But
isn't that exciting, Bill, when it does?
I love it. And, Will, I didn't bin mine, you know, and you're 12 years old. This really upsets me.
Well, see, this is the class I had in school. Wouldn't you like to have that in a school class?
Will, would you like to have that in school?
What?
Could you do metal bending and thought photography and all like that?
I'd love it if we could get it in school.
I did that for 4 years, teaching it up here.
Gosh, that's incredible.
It is. But, once you do that, you realize what tremendous powers and faculties you have, and you don't let anybody put you down then, because you know who you are.
Yeah.
Next thing you're going to do, Will, is dissipate some clouds.
And my mom had a real bad headache.
Yes.
Tonight. And when you talked about the healing, we have like two crystals. We have a real big one,
yes.
And then I have a pyramid.
Good.
And my mother was holding the one crystal on her neck. And before you even mentioned the rose, she smelled it. Me and my mother and my father.
I smelled the same rose.
We all smelled it, and it was really weird.
Isn't that wonderful?
Your rose?
Yeah.
Your rose cast all over California tonight.
And it was the same thing with the wind.
Uh-huh.
We felt it real strongly on both hands. So.
Will, thank you for calling in and verifying and sort of fortifying the rest of us here.
Good, we love it.
I'm glad I could get through.
And keep up that acting work, Will.
I will.
You sang like a good one there. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me tonight, along with Will, is Marcel Vogel.
I like learning.
Is Dr. Marcel Vogel. And with me also is Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello,
Catherine.
I want to ask Dr. Vogel about those crystals.
Yes?
And where you can get them.
Good. They're for sale at our laboratory. My son makes them, and I make them on sale. And you can write to me. You have the address. And we can send you the full particulars on them.
Okay. I'd like to get one of the healing crystals.
Yes.
Okay, then I'll do that.
You just write to me and I can help you that way.
Okay, fine.
All right,
Kevin?
Yes.
Very, very good to have you aboard.
Thank you very much.
And let me see. I believe we have, is it Dusty coming up here somewhere?
On the radio a little bit, Larry. I can hardly hear
you. Hello, Dusty. We can hear you and Larry just chatting away.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. My letter opener didn't bend. I smelled the rose for a fraction of a second, and I felt temporary relief in the back pain that I just sprained my back a few hours ago.
You did?
Yeah, and I felt, you know, I put my right hand on it and, you know, received with my left hand. See, I work with crystals, too, and I was receiving my crystal energy that are now in cleaning about 30 miles away since they don't have any limitations.
Well, you say you had temporary relief from your back pain. Is
yeah, it was a knockout pain before that. I could hardly breathe, you know.
Is there still pain yet?
It's a pressure. It's not like the stabbing pain.
Good. Now, would you like to get rid of all of it?
Sure.
All right. Close your eyes.
I tell you what, Marcel.
What?
And, Dusty, I want you to hang on.
I will.
Because there is our orchestra. And that means that we're going to take just a pause here. Sorry to do this in the middle of all of that, guys, but time moves on. We're going to take a break for the news here at 11 o'clock. We'll be back at 6 minutes past. Time for you to relax, Dusty.
Bill Jenkins. And with me is Dr. Marcel Vogel. Dr. Vogel is in Northern California. And he has been electrifying us tonight. People all over Southern California have been bending spoons and knives and forks, and they have been smelling roses, and some of them have had some of their aches and pains even done away with. Marcel, do you feel proud?
I am just thanking our Lord.
Well, of course, that's where it all comes from.
But I was meditating while we were going through the break period, and I'd like to share something with you now and the rest of the readers. When I was 6 years of age, I suffered double lobar pneumonia four times in 18 months, and I was at the point of death at the last one, and I experienced going out of my body. I saw my body on the bed, and I was floating away from the body, and suddenly I was back into my body, and the next day I got up and I was well. And I asked the question, why am I alive? What is the purpose now of my living? Because I saw that sudden, abrupt transition. And I would go every morning, I'm Roman Catholic, to Mass. I'd serve the 5:30 Mass in the morning, so I got up before 5 and walked to church, and I repeated that question, "Dear Lord, give me a clear understanding of why I am living and to what purpose I must apply this life of mine now to service." For 4 years, I prayed every morning this way with no answer, nothing forthcoming. And when I was 11 years of age, at the end of Mass, and I was all alone in church, a voice spoke, and it spoke very clearly. It said, "You are to be a chemist, a phosphor chemist. You will write a book on luminescence. You will then build a corporation and then do fundamental research in rare earth phosphorus." When I heard that, I went home and told my parents that I was to be a chemist, and I borrowed $1 and bought a chemistry set and became a chemist.
That you did.
And at the end of the year, I had a full-blown laboratory going with the help of my father. And each one of these statements were carried out. Namely, I had my own corporation. I published a book with Dr. Peter Pringsheim, and then did rare earth research on the yttrium, vanadate, europium, the rare earth phosphors that are in color television and in the fluorescent lamps, the red component. What I want to say here is the tremendous power of prayer. Once you focus your mind and you persist that you do and will receive an answer to any prayer, but you must then believe in what is given to you and act on it.
Therein becomes the real hardship in life, and that is responsibility and determination and will.
Yes, remember, 4 years, how many people are willing to pray for a thing for 4 years and not lose faith? One bit of research I did took me 30 years. And when you have a feeling and you know it is true, you then persist and continue, and that will come about.
Never let anything thwart your past.
That is correct. And this is the greatest gift I can give to you and those who are listening to me at this time, is to, above all, believe in yourself and do not lose heart. And everything that happens to one has a purpose and intention to it. And once we learn the lesson, we grow from that and go on living and becoming more fruitful and joyful.
But you see, you were fortunate in a way, Marcel. You heard what you perceived to be a voice speaking loud and rich and clear.
Right.
Which is the starting point. A lot of people have never heard that voice or perceived it in any other way, and they have nowhere to go. They don't know what their goal is in life. They don't know what their purpose is in life.
That is true.
And the problem, the reason that they don't, is because they have never listened.
See, I listened.
And you heard.
Then the voice spoke.
And I think that's true with everybody. If they will only learn to listen, this is where meditation, I think, is so important.
That is the value, my friend, of meditation, is to listen to that voice that speaks within each one of us. And that is our higher self. That is the Christ consciousness, if you want to call it.
And it's shouting at the top of its voice, if you would just listen.
If you just stop and listen. And
you and I are on the same wavelength, Marcel.
You can feel me now focusing on you.
You certainly can. Are you doing something with the crystal again?
Yes,
because I'm feeling the wind on my hand again.
Oh, yes, it's in my hand and I'm waving it up and down on you now.
Well, I've got a wind blowing across my hand.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
No more.
I believe it. We had Dusty on the line who had a problem with his back. Dusty,
yes,
are you still with us?
Yeah, I really like what he had to say. I mean, I add that it's hard for me to find a scientist that also, or a physicist that has a spiritual outlook on life, and I think a person that feels that way can go places.
Let me give you a little message, Dusty, about scientists like Dr. Marcel Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
I have a rare opportunity to be able to deal with men of this caliber. It is part of the territory of doing this show. And it has been of great gratification that I have found that the more deeply involved the men of science are these days, the more deeply they are involved in your and their and our spirituality.
Right.
For they realize that that is where the action is.
That's good.
Now let me let you go on.
Hello, my friend.
Hello.
Would you like to see what we can do now to correct the rest of the problem?
Yes. I also have my friend here. He's got a crystal on him. He just got in a car accident a few days ago. His back is hurt. May he do the experiment, too?
I can do the same with your friend now.
Good.
All right. Now, I'm going to tune into... Close your eyes and draw it in and tell me when you feel it.
I just felt the vibration now.
Feel it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now... Take that vibration and transfer it to an area in your body now that needs to be balanced and released from the accident that you have. Focus on it. Transfer the charge.
I can feel it fading.
There it comes.
It is fading.
It's gone.
It is almost gone.
You see?
Uh-huh.
Would you do me a favor now? Write to me in detail and describe what took place in your body.
And I'll also tell you how long it lasts and if it comes
That's
back.
That's right. And give me a rundown today, tomorrow, and the next 2 to 3 days. So that way I can have a record of what was accomplished today. Because what I did with all of you who are listening, I've never done before in my life.
Dr. Marcel, what I also wanted to ask, my main question is I do a lot of visualization with my crystals and meditation and all, but the technique, when I was starting to bend the first instrument here, when I drew out, and I've done this before, and I've studied a lot of meditation and yoga techniques, and this, what I'm trying to say is it starts to work. I can feel like everything starts to, an object starts to move. I have something blocking me, and I was wondering if you have any technique.
What it is your own belief system.
Yeah?
And it starts to go, and you subconsciously shut the motor down, and it stops running. And it doesn't happen then.
Well, what I was going to ask is...
What you do, you take something very simple that you can work with. Now, what you take a styrofoam cup. You know the styrofoam cup?
Uh-huh.
Puncture a hole in the back and the end and hang it with a thread from some place. A styrofoam cup holds a charge very well. So what you do then, you draw your breath in, hold it, and put your hands around the cup, you know, at either side, and slowly push and pull, and the cup will start to move.
So you start out with smaller things and work your way up.
Now you hear me. You see?
Uh-huh.
As Dr. Grant says, take baby steps first.
Yes.
Now deal with the styrofoam cup with your hands first and moving it. And then put your hands down and do it with your mind, and you can do exactly the same thing with your mind as you're doing with your hand. Then go to the spoon, and it'll bend on you.
Very good.
Meanwhile, okay. Dusty, what we're going to do in about a half hour,
All right. We're
going to go through the spin bending experiment again. This time, we're all going to concentrate on Bill bending his spoon, because I didn't do it the first time.
Mm-hmm. Been fun, hasn't it?
Hey, Dusty, but the back pain is gone?
Yeah, well, it's a little twinge there, but it's nowhere near as bad as it was.
You know, what I heard you say in the background was, it's gone.
It started to come back as I was listening. I'm at a high-tension job here. I'm doing security, and I have to pay attention to noises outside and all, and find the stress, you know. I had my friend on the other line here. Did your pain go away?
Yes, it did.
Yours went too. What's your name?
My name's Larry Berg.
Larry, and your pain went?
Yes.
All right.
You also, would you keep track with Dr. Vogel of how long it lasted and what you felt?
I have a sense.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very much.
Isn't this fun?
It is fun. Marcel, we didn't know we were going to get into this kind of a show tonight with you, but it has been just a mind bender, and a little bit later we'll make it a spoon bender again.
Okay? I'd like to make a short mention here if I can. I'm giving three sets of classes for people who are interested. Can I speak about them now?
Yes.
One is going to be in... May 31st to June 2nd and 7th, The Joy of Living. I'm giving a one-week symposium on doing what we have done over the air now.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be up at Joy Lake again in Reno, Nevada. And then the second is the therapeutic use of crystals and crystal devices in healing practice, and that will be in August 31st to September the 5th. These will be all with Alan Mulvey, which I gave you the phone.
Yeah, that was 702-323-0378.
The place is about 6,000 feet up. It's all alone. You're out in the woods among animals and birds, peacocks. And so you have a chance to let go and really... be yourself. And this is part of the thing I'm giving my life to do now, is to share this knowledge with people.
And, you know, if you need further information on that, I would like for you, Marcel, to send me a letter with that information so we can have it on record here.
We mailed it to you.
I've got it then. All right. And then we'll have it in broadcast information.
Yeah, you have it. We send it typewritten source information.
That's all been... put in a record, and lovely Lita will have that for you, broadcast information.
Lita did a wonderful job for me. We know it's a wonderful thing. I retired, and I built this laboratory, and I draw no income from it. In other words, everything I'm doing, I'm giving to the laboratory, the sales of crystals, the monies I get from lectures, so I draw no income, and I'm working now harder than I ever have at IBM. And I've had the same group of people. In other words, people come and we work together in the laboratory.
But you're serving mankind, you see.
For the good of mankind.
And that, of course, is where the action really is.
It's fun. I mean, I'm having more fun than I've ever had before.
Well, we'll have some fun with Alice, who I think bent a spoon in just a second. But we're going to take a break. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Dr. Marcel Vogel. For years in the line, Alice, you bent a spoon?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. Alice? Yes. Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm very appreciative of this. It's just amazing. And I had a neighbor come down for that Doving Thomas lady that phoned in, but I couldn't believe it. I know we are energy forces, and I did everything you said, and I've had open heart surgery, but I have no strength hardly to carry things.
All right.
And I have a lot of back pain.
Uh-huh.
And, I had a lot of pain in my left shoulder and arm, and when I was holding out my hands, I felt the breeze.
Right.
And I did bend the spoon, literally, completely over, and it's stainless steel.
Now, isn't that...
I tried bending another one from my table with pushing and couldn't. Now, what is it?
Did you smell it?
I smelled the rose. And do you know, it smells like one from Vancouver, Canada.
Right.
They have beautiful aroma.
Right.
And I couldn't believe that. But I had my friend come down and look at... I insisted she come down.
Right.
And look at this damn spoon that I can't believe it.
Alice, is your friend still there?
No, she went up to her apartment.
Well,
and she said she'd listen.
We're going to do it again in about 20 minutes. So Alice's friend, to get your spoon.
Can I ask Dr. Vogel if he can give a little, one of those vibration things for my back and shoulder?
Shirley, are you there all ready to receive?
Yes, I really am.
Yes. I'm going to send you now a great big, close your eyes.
Yes.
I'm going to now take a deep breath. Focus on your shoulders. The tension and the need you have to relieve them. Now slowly let your breath out. and the pain should go away. You're such a beautiful soul.
Thank you. You're a wonderful person. I'm going to send for your crystal.
Good. What about your shoulders, Alice? Do they feel better?
Wait till I put that arm back. I was in an accident, you see. And it's bringing it down. My God, it just feels better. It's not all better. I can put it back.
Good. You see that?
And bring it down without doubling over.
Isn't that fun?
Aren't you glad you tuned in tonight?
Oh, I say, this was no accident. I came down from her apartment and just happened to hear him and tried to get her for 10 minutes. She was on the ready phone. Then I finally got her. And I said, tune in and listen to this gentleman. He sounds like something we were talking about ourselves.
All right.
Because I believe that we're energy forces.
All right, Alice. Thank you so much for sharing
you.
With us.
This, you're just wonderful.
Good.
How do you spell your name?
Marcel Vogel. V-O-G-E-L.
V-O-G-E-L.
Means a bird.
All right.
I'm born in San Francisco.
You were.
So we're Californians through and through, right?
Absolutely.
Good for you. Well, I was born in Vancouver.
You were.
But you're a beautiful person, and thank you so much.
Thank you, and get your neighbor to make
sure. But that rose smell from Vancouver really took me back home. It's the only trip I could afford.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Marcel, you're just casting joy all over the place here tonight.
Isn't that what we should do?
That's the name of the game. If you're not doing that, you're not up to par.
That's
you?
Right.
Alice, did you bend your spoon?
Hello?
Hello, Alice. Or Eileen.
Hi, this is Eileen.
Oh, hello, Alice, we were just talking to Alice.
Right.
Eileen.
Hi.
How nice of you not to answer. You thought I'd go ahead.
Nice to talk with you, Mr. Jenkins and Dr. Vogel. I'm a first-time caller, and I have listened to your show on many occasions, Mr. Jenkins. I did not
make it, Bill.
Okay, Bill. I didn't bend the spoon. A little disappointed.
Oh.
I did smell the rose.
Good.
And my lower back pain is gone. And I also am breathing a little freer. I had a cold. And I feel terrific. The experience that I've had, Dr. Vogel, have been with animals.
Uh-huh.
And also leaving the body and traveling to a time and place in the past.
Eileen.
Yes.
I never have been able to do that. You know, you're making me jealous.
I know. I've heard you talk about this and mention it quite often. I've been doing it since I was about 6 or 7.
You're really getting mad now, Eileen.
And don't ever lose it, my dear.
Well, Dr. Vogel, this is one of the questions I had.
Go ahead.
I don't have a crystal.
Uh-huh.
And there are times that I do not want to travel.
Good. Then you get a crystal for yourself. Go to a rock shop.
A rock shop?
Yes, and buy the small tips. They're natural quartz crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only about 1.5 inches long.
Oh, I see.
Like and your then, thumb.
Pardon? Oh, very tiny.
Not the size of your thumb.
75 cents to $1.50.
Oh, I can handle that.
They're very, very inexpensive.
Uh-huh. Now, should I take that to bed with me also?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you...
I can hardly hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. My voice is getting a little tired. I've been...
It's late.
Since 10 o'clock this morning. Well, and you put that... tie a string onto it and put it around your neck with the tip facing up.
Oh.
And that will keep you in body.
I see.
In other words, your mind travel will be stopped, and you will have much greater strength and better ability to function. I'm building now special devices to help people who have this type of...
Is it a fear or an apprehension of something?
Your, what we call your etheric body is very thin, so it moves readily.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
And you're sensitive. You're a very sensitive person.
Yes, I am.
You feel people very, very keenly. You wear a crystal like that around your neck, you will be able to feel people but not be as sensitive to them.
Oh, I see. Well, I beg your pardon, but one of the experiences I did have involved my mother-in-law
uh-huh.
and her dog. of 12 or 13 years, right after her husband died, one of her sons bought her a little poodle. And this was her best friend and companion for all those years.
Right.
And about a year and a half ago, the dog got very ill, and she decided to put the dog to sleep.
Right.
Well, the day that she decided to put the dog to sleep, I was walking towards my car, and I was very concerned about my mother-in-law. I felt very, very bad for her, that this great loss. And as I was walking towards my car, I had my key in my hand, and I was thinking of my mother-in-law and the loss of her dog.
Right.
And suddenly, I felt a charge, an electrical shock on my temples.
Right.
And I looked up towards the sky, and it was a beautiful, clear, blue, sunny day. It was like right after a good rain in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
And it was blue and crisp. And I felt this shock, and I immediately, it was just a feeling, an overwhelming feeling of concern that the dog was finally
gone. Yeah.
And I looked at my key, and I couldn't get into my car.
It was bent so much. You see?
That I had to walk home.
Right. What happened? Your third eye opened. And that's a shock, is the opening of the third eye.
The third eye.
That's right between your forehead, between your two eyes, and it's a sensitive point. And when you open that, you release a tremendous charge. It will ionize the atmosphere around you.
I see.
And, of course, that affected the metal of your key as well.
It sure did. Luckily, I wasn't too far from home.
Good, but... this has happened many, many times. When people suffer deep depression,
mm-hmm.
and they become depressed and that energy starts to release, it will burn up their body. The body will be consumed. It will not affect their clothing, but their tissue, the flesh, will just literally be dissolved away. They die.
Mm.
So it is a very, very intense force that moves out of you.
Well, I do have experiences with deer, who
yeah.
we all know are very timid and very shy.
Yeah, but can I say something?
Surely.
You're a very beautiful person.
Thank you very much. So are you, by the way. Very spiritual. Very nice to talk to and listen to.
It is. I feel at home with you right now, and I'm really enjoying this moment of togetherness that we're having.
Thank you. So am I. I was wondering, Dr. Vogel, I have not read many books with regards to psychic development.
If you would get this syllabus that I've put together, I have a reference for about 50 books that you can get now that are not too expensive.
Okay.
And they're all listed systematically, so you can go to the library or you can get them, and it gives you a complete rundown on books that you can get for this type of work.
Oh, terrific.
So I thought of people like you, and I put this together. You see?
That's fantastic.
Okay, Eileen, does that help you?
Yes, it does.
All right.
My only problem is I didn't get the address. I got the 406 South Bascom.
All right. It's Suite 110, 406 South Bascom Avenue, San Jose, California, 95128. That is it.
Okay, thank you so much.
And I'll send you a copy, and we'll have a lot of fun together.
Great.
Okay.
Good evening. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you for sharing all of that with us.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it a lot.
Sure.
We're with Dr. Marcel Vogel tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. And get your spoons if you missed the exercise a little earlier in the evening. We're going to try it again in about 10 minutes, Marcel.
This time, enough strength.
This time, well, I hope so. We'll have a go at it, and I'm going to have a go at my spoon.
Oh, you're going to bend yours this time. You watch.
Oh, I hope so, or otherwise
yeah.
I'll just have to stay here all night long. They won't let me out of here. Even Donald will try to bend his as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Me, Dr. Marcel Vogel, who's up in Northern California, having a smell of roses tonight and bend spoons and get rid of the aches and pains in our body and find out a little bit about how science is becoming much more spiritual, Marcel.
Good. Can I give a little quote that I've used in the courses I've given on the art of creative living?
Certainly.
Our thoughts make our lives. We can choose our thoughts. Therefore, we can make our lives what we choose.
That's rather profound.
I'd like to give now another thought as a gift to all who are here this evening together. I have found that a natural quartz crystal can store the patterns of the mind of a person when they are thinking. And those of you who are studying, who are working in school, take a crystal in your left hand, hold it and do your study. And then when you finish, you take a notebook and said, what have I learned? And write out the information that you have learned. Then take and put the crystal aside and study another page. And then write out what you have learned and compare one page to the other. And you will be surprised that your retentive ability is markedly increased with the use of a crystal that you hold in your hand. Try it. Test it for yourself. And this is my gift to all of you this evening to help each one of you have an expanded consciousness and the ability to store and hold information. So that's another tidbit I'm offering you.
I'll offer you one.
Go ahead.
With a crystal.
Yeah.
I have one of those hot spas at home.
Uh-huh.
I have a crystal in it about the size of your thumb.
All right.
I have used in that spa less than a half a container, one of those little cans of chlorine.
Right.
Since last August.
Uh-huh.
I also have a crystal in my refrigerator, and I keep it at its very lowest point. If I turn it up any higher, my refrigerator becomes a freezer.
Right. The crystal structures water, and I am doing fundamental scientific work on exactly these statements that you are making to me. I've been at it for now almost a year. I'm doing spectral photometry of the water after it has been structured by a crystal. And it is amazing. There's a whole new set of absorption bands in the visible spectra that take place. Now, what structured water means and is that the water molecule, H2O, starts to link together with the energy that can be fed to a crystal and takes on a different viscosity and a greater stability.
And a lower surface tension.
Entirely different surface tension. So that is why you need a lower... You can stand with less chlorine in your hot spa and a lower temperature in your refrigerator.
Not only that, the spa never collects any kind of dirt on the bottom of it.
It won't.
Nothing along the sides of the edge of it.
Right. Isn't that neat?
The only thing that I still do is put in the coagulants, you know, the ionization coagulants.
That's so that
the
you filter, need that.
So that the filter can pick up the dirt particles that are being suspended.
Oh.
But that's it.
What you said, I'm now studying scientifically with the microscope. I can take crystals of silica, dissolve it in the water, and treat it with the crystal. And it will crystallize out an entirely different pattern than one I did not treat. And I can take all of the cell salts or tissue salts. Each one now is different after I've treated it with a crystal.
And algae doesn't grow.
Algae will not grow either. So I'm working to purify water with this device.
Well, there's a new altered water out, Dr. Flanagan's water, that has 62 different crystallines in it.
It's not needed.
And it tastes great.
You know, all you need is one crystal quartz.
And it gets it going. Are we ready to bend spoons?
All righty.
All right, everybody get your spoon. I'm going to try this again myself. Donald, we've got you tonight.
We're a crazy bunch of people we are tonight, but we're all having fun, I hope.
Well, we certainly are.
All righty.
I mean, I want... Now, the last time, I helped the spoon with my left hand, the spoon part. And with my right hand, it's kind of at the neck. Should it be down at the back or just all over the...
No, keep it. The left hand is best with the on the spoon part,
right.
And the right hand on the neck. All right.
Right at the neck.
Yes. Well, let's everybody take a deep breath and let the breath out to relax the body. Let's breathe in again and out. And now... Rub the spoon with the right hand on the neck, not the neck, but the long part of the spoon, back and forth, and relax your mind and wait till the hand sticks onto the metal. Pull your breath in. It should release and move it back and forth again. Let your breath out and find that point where the fingers stick. Hold the fingers in that position. Now test the spoon for its strength. Put a slight pressure on it. Don't try to bend it. Relax now. Now take a deep breath again and focus all of your attention on the area of the spoon you are and wish to bend it. Focus on it. Lock into it with your mind. Visualize the metal becoming soft. Now, and breath the breath out and bend. Bend. Breathe in. Focus again and continue bending as you will. Now, did you manage this time?
Well.
What's happened to you now, my friend?
Marcel, I'm just not with it here tonight.
You just didn't do it, did you?
No.
Well,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. There is a little glitch in it here, but I think that was just from some brute strength I was pushing on it.
Okay.
I cannot say that I was able, but now that I've got the technique...
Just try it, and next show you have on...
I will do it.
Speak of your success. You never quit once you start trying.
Right. There's a little bit of a wrinkle in it, but I don't know whether that's just because I was pushing too hard. I cannot really say that I bent the spoon.
Well, there are others who have.
How did you do over there, Milton? Milton bent his fork last time beautifully, but tonight he's not, the second time around, he's not doing it.
Well, I guess he's tired. You see.
I have a feeling, though, that we do have some bent spoons out there.
Well, there's going to be a lot of them.
Oh.
You know, it might be fun for people to write in to tell you how many were able to bend the spoon.
Yeah, I would like to hear from the spoon benders out there.
And the people with back pains, might it be fun to write in to you, and then we can kind of compare notes.
Yeah, I know you'd like to have that information.
I would very much like it, because this is the first time I've ever in my life have tried it this way.
Do that. Those of you that did get positive or negative results from these little experiments that we have accomplished, just a postcard to me.
That's all.
And you just say Marcel Vogel on it. I will pack them up and send them to you, Marcel.
I'd love it.
Of course, I will read each and every one of them because I'm as interested as you are. Okay.
It's been fun. It's been a really total experience being with all of you.
Well, we've got a little bit time to go, and we'll get to Marjorie, who did bend the spoon a little bit earlier, in just a moment.
Hello, Marjorie.
100,000 families will divorce this year. Staggering.
Marcel Vogel, and also we're talking to Marjorie, and your spoon is bent, huh, Marjorie?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Marjorie.
Hello. Bill.
Yeah.
Yours is the most enlightening and informative show, and I've been listening for years.
Thank you very
much. First time I ever called. Dr. Vogel.
Yes.
My spoon's bent both times.
It did. Congratulations.
Very easily.
Marjorie, you're making me feel very bad.
Do you know why? I think, in all good faith, Dr. Vogel and Bill?
Yeah.
I had an enlightenment in October of 1981.
Uh-huh.
By that, I mean I felt the power come in through an electronic charge, and nothing ever looked the same afterwards.
That's right.
I could see to the end of the world, I thought.
Well, that is the opening of what we call the kundalini.
Louder?
It comes in from the base of the spine, a force.
Uh-huh.
And it spirals up the spinal column and it comes to the top of the head.
Yes, it did.
And that happened to me when I was in India. I was taken to a sacred mountain called Panandrum May in Trivandrum. It's in southern India.
Uh-huh.
And I sat and meditated on that mountain, and suddenly my body became like fire.
Yes.
And you were taken out of body, and I experienced the temple that was there. And then when I came back into my body, I asked, why did this happen to me?
Yes.
And a voice spoke and said, you are to ignite the flame.
Yes.
And what I took, that was 1977.
Hmm.
And I took that to mean then that I was to help people to understand the powers that were within each one of us.
I have the same calling, sir.
Good. So you understand what I'm doing.
I surely do. I'm 63. And I've been praying for many years, and I have always been a person of faith, blind faith.
Good.
And now it's not blind.
Well,
I would like to write something that happened to me. I prayed for certain specific things.
Right.
And they happened exactly as I asked for them. And I asked for signs, and I had them.
Beautiful.
the one thing I'm a little bit troubled about, things are moving around. I took them someplace, and then I look, and they're somewhere else.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, it just means that you can move things with your mind. And
yes.
You can stop that at will. You just say stop and you don't want that to happen.
Uh-huh.
And just cool it.
I have something hanging on my kitchen sink that I did not touch tonight. I looked over there, looked at it, and moved.
Okay. Then
telekinesis is what it's known.
Is that what it is?
That's all. And there's nothing to be concerned
about. I'm not afraid of it.
Why should you be afraid?
I'm just in awe.
That's it. You look at it and say, my gosh, that's interesting.
My God.
And then get on with it.
Right.
You know, I'm a bit older than you.
No, you're not.
I'm 67.
I was born in 1921.
Oh, I'm born in 1917.
Bless you. We're still hanging in here, aren't we? I pray to the universal intelligence, which most people call God.
That's right. And
in the name of Jesus.
Got here from Gems and Minerals, the gems and craftsmen in the Bible, how in the Old Testament and even the New, the critical use of gems and minerals were done. And it is remarkable the precision of instruction that was given in the Bible about how gems were to be used.
Oh, yes, it was. When you get into the etymology of the words, you find quite detailed instructions.
There were, and I have this here, and if people would like, I could make copies of this. This is in April 1964 in Gems and Minerals. It's a magazine. So April 1964 in Gems and Minerals. The title is Gems and Craftsmen in the Bible. There is so much I could give even on the history of these things, but time is beginning to run out for us.
It certainly is, so that means we'll have to do it again.
Oh, I'd love to do it.
It's interesting you had the Kundalini experience, so did I, in 1977.
Same time.
And since then, there have been almost 500 pages of things that I didn't write. I just was the typist.
That's right.
Quite an experience for that to happen.
My body was on fire for 2 weeks after that happened, and I couldn't eat or drink. I had no desire for food or drink. And I was burning, but I could not take water.
I didn't go through that. I just certainly had a lot of things to commit to paper.
That was good.
And indeed I did.
And I'm happy that you had that, because it's essential for this type of development.
We have time, I think, for perhaps one more call. Adam, you're on the line.
Hi.
Hello, Adam.
I haven't called for a while.
Why not?
Because I haven't been listening. I hate to say it, I haven't been listening.
Four demerits, Adam.
This is going to fascinate you, I would hope.
Go ahead.
I bent two forks at the same time.
At the same time?
I was only holding one.
Go ahead.
But I bent two.
A diggity.
The one I was holding looks more like a shovel than a fork now.
Oh, dear.
And the tongs are twisted and everything.
Right.
And the second one just looks more like a shovel.
You know, you guys are all making me feel so inferior. Everybody goes out of body, they bend spoons.
Yeah.
And I just sit here like a lump on the log.
Also, I was sitting here with my next door neighbor, and she bent her spoon, and it looks like the bowl part of the spoon has gone a little deeper.
Right.
Than before.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, I thought it was fascinating. What else can I say? I mean...
Well, you can share it with your friends tomorrow now. Won't that be fun?
I don't think anyone would believe me.
Well, once you make them do it,
yeah.
Adam, come down and show me how to do it.
I'd love it.
I'd be delighted.
Have you enjoyed yourself tonight, Adam?
Oh, yes, definitely. I have to point out, you and I are 400 miles apart.
Right.
And I smelt your rose.
Uh-huh.
And the pain in the lower back, in my lower back is gone.
Isn't that wonderful?
Adam, what a marvelous way to end the show. I thank you for giving us a contribution, for smelling the roses, bending the spoons, getting rid of the pain, and I hope you enjoy the evening. And Marcel,
yes.
I want to get back with you quickly because I want you back as soon as possible. How about June? Can you join us then?
I'd be happy to.
Dr. Marcel Vogel, I'm Bill Jenkins. Next week, we'll talk about spiritual psychology. Another fascinating night.